All right, what's up, man?
Well, not much. Just another beautiful spring day in Nashville. It's been fantastic. This is my favorite time of year out here, Pat. It really does turn quickly and get really, really beautiful. But I can't help but notice you got a bit of a different background. What's going on with you?
Yeah, we've got some. I'm at Emily's parents' house, my in-laws' house right now. They're very gracious to let me work out of here for potentially like the next month because daughter's between daycares, and so the house is a little disruptive. It's not as much of a peaceful work environment as it used to be. So I'm kind of commuting to work now, and I plugged all my crap over here, and I'm taking over their part of their kitchen counter for a bit. So it's not ideal, but we're gonna make it happen. So I also have to apologize to everybody. I don't know how this is gonna come out since it's not my normal setup. Don't have my cool guy camera. I don't have my cool guy microphone, so my audio and my video is going to be through Zoom. So your audio is probably going to be beautiful. So if mine's a little echoey or whatnot, I'm sorry, everybody. I'm doing my best here.
Hey, you know what? Hopefully the content is good enough that
There
you
you
can
go.
overlook a little bit of production value
There you
decrease.
go. There
So,
you go.
yes.
It's 100%. So the topic today, when we were shooting things back and forth, was generally speaking, should affiliates be doing more with nutrition?
Yep, that's the basics of the conversation there, and I think it is interesting because if you go to, most affiliates, I think that in discussion, if you were to bring it up and poll, the average trainer, the average affiliate owner, and maybe even the average athlete at these affiliates, and you were to ask them, hey, do you think nutrition is really at the bedrock of what you need to be doing and focusing on to see real results and to sustain them? I think in lip service, most people would absolutely say, yes, this
I
is
think
one of
it'd
the
be
most, if not,
a resounding
yeah.
yes.
This is the most important thing, but in practice, I'm not sure that that is exactly what you see happening. If for no other reason than, hey, you're in the gym, you're not in a studio meant for cooking or some sort of like kitchen-like setting that really focuses on the physical act of preparing and eating food. So I get it that there's a bit of a disconnect there, but I think it's a great question nonetheless. It's, hey, we put all this time and effort into learning these techniques and trying to better your physical person. How much should be emphasized when it comes to nutrition in that setting? So I do think it's a good question.
And that, I think there's probably the whole gamut of affiliates, right? Some that take this topic profoundly seriously, some
For
that
sure.
don't address it at all, and everything in between. So, like my short answer was, should affiliates be doing more with nutrition? Most likely, yes. I think it's most likely because not to oversimplify what we're all doing to be fit, but lift, eat, sleep, repeat. I mean, that's it's oversimplification, but the eating and sleeping largely take place outside the 1 hour that a trainer happens to see you in the affiliate. And like we always said, for most human beings that don't have your metabolism or Chris Spieler's metabolism, 23 hours of poor decisions cannot be undone in 1 hour in the gym. And so
Absolutely.
if you, for most of us that have regular metabolisms, and everyone's getting older, not younger, if you are just letting those 23 hours slide and you think you're just gonna do an extra session that's gonna turn back the hands of time and get the body comp where you want and your blood panels looking good and all this stuff, you're probably lying to yourself. And it's an area that I think most of us could improve. And if I'm being honest, it's my biggest area of struggle. Like I don't miss workouts. Like I don't care if I'm traveling. I don't care if I'm short on time. If I got to get up early, stay up late. Like I don't miss workouts. The nutrition component, it is a daily discipline to kind of stay on track. It's just, it is what it is.
Yeah, and I think that's probably most people's experience, whether or not they are vocal about that. And one thing about the appearance of things too, I think is really important. I know you say it a few times, but like I'm naturally a leaner person. There are plenty of people out there like that as well. There's plenty of people on the other side of that spectrum. Where I think it gets a little bit interesting is just because you have somebody who's a little bit leaner and they may not show what they're eating on the outside quite as much. Like there is a huge impact under the hood, so to speak. And I think that it can be even more important for somebody who hasn't had to think about it in terms of weight loss or body composition management, because they almost believe that, I can just kind of put whatever I want in the tank and it's going to work out okay. It's like, well, maybe it's not going to be a visible, you know, radical change, but I'll tell you, if you're running on sugar and, you know, you keep pouring that into the gas tank, sooner or later, some of those components are going to wear out, to extend the metaphor a little bit. And it's not going to be a good outcome. So yeah, it's almost, it is interesting to think about sometimes, where it's like, man, that can set you up for some really bad habits in the long run because you haven't had to think about them.
And if I let things slide, I will notice, you know, right. And then I get to reel myself back in. So you're right. If I was just blessed with 10 pack abdominals, no matter what, I bet my diet would be terrible, if I'm being really honest, because I would fool myself into thinking that I could get away with it, or be a lot worse than it is. Let me go ahead and say that. I'll also say, and I think we've said this probably, I'm sure, more than one show beforehand, but that nutrition component, you know, and whatever diet you prescribe, you know, ascribe to, I'm not going to go down that path, but whatever it is, hopefully it's good. That's one of the things we always say, like, if you get this client that's been at the gym 6 months, 6 years, don't care what it is, but they put in some work and they're either not getting the gains that they want, they think they've plateaued, like, fill in the blank, and you see them train every day and you think they're making good decisions and you think they're modulating their intensity well, like, all those things seem to be in track. I mean, one of the biggest things I would say is, what's going on under the hood nutrition-wise? And that's probably the area where I'm just going to make a broad sweeping generalization, that person's stumbling and they could really improve. And when you ask them if that's an area of concern, they'll most likely lie and say no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And to me, I see it as like a kind of like a holistic collection of habits. And you can think of them almost like skills. And so if you have somebody who's coming into the gym, let's say that they're at a skill level zero, and not necessarily because they don't know how to move, or they, you know, they haven't had exposure to these movements. Maybe that's true, maybe it's not. But at the end of the day, they are starting out from a fresh kind of blank slate. Okay. So if we have that person and they start coming into the gym, they're at the affiliate 3-4 times a week. Great. Now they've started to progress to a skill level that's, you know, a 2 or a 3. And now we layer in some of the new movements that they have. They start to challenge themselves. They start to record their workouts. They're seeing some basic progress from being a new athlete. Awesome. Now that skill is raised a little bit higher. And what happens when you accumulate skill in kind of in this model, or any model really, is that sooner or later, those skills become almost automatic. And you don't really have to put the energy or the brain power towards them anymore that you might have in the beginning when they were still difficult and you're kind of overcoming something. You know, think about learning to drive a car. Mm-hmm. You know, if you think way back to when you learned that, first few times you're doing it, it's like you really have to go down the checklist. You're like, okay, hands at 10 and 2. I'm going to check my mirror.
Oh, yeah.
Foot on the brake.
Brain power.
Exactly. But, you know, 10 years later, you hop in the vehicle, you don't think about any of that. And it's all automated process. And same thing can kind of happen with this collection of skills. So it's a long-winded way of saying that I think that there's an appropriate time to start layering in that nutritional skill set. And in my opinion, it's perfect time to do it when some of these other things like consistency of attendance, basic movement understanding, basic kind of CrossFit literacy, those have started to become automated processes. Okay, now we're probably at a point that we can layer something else in there that can be as, you know, all-consuming as nutrition. But if you dive into that really quickly and you're trying to do all of it all at once, man, it can feel like a whole lot. And, you know, some people, in fairness, they thrive with it. That's what they want. They want a big cold turkey, clean slate, clean break, change everything about my life. I'm just going to be a new person. Some people can do that, but most of us, that's not going to be the best path to success. It's just too much to adopt all at once.
I had written down my list. I was curious as to when you personally would broach something with people, because that seems to be an interesting topic. And I know that a lot of gym owners are split on that as well. I've heard people say, like, look, we're going to get at it right away, because if you're not taking care of that, in addition with everything else, I know you're not going to meet your goal. So we're not even going to beat around the bush. You're going to work out, and here's how we recommend that you eat. Welcome to day one. And then I've heard other gym owners are like, man, have you ever tried to talk about nutrition with somebody? Like, they're not ready for it, or they don't want to hear about it. It's like talking about politics or religion. Mm-hmm. Like, it's they just shut off, and, you know, my way or the highway. And they're like, so, hey, I'm going to wait for them to bring it up. Because then once they bring it up, in whatever manner it happens to be, whether it's, you know, body composition or so-and-so seems to be getting ahead of me or whatever, then we'll bring it up because maybe that tells me that they're receptive to it. And not that either one is right or wrong, but I was curious as to kind of where you landed on that one. Interesting.
I like a prime the pump type of approach, and it kind of piggybacks on what I was just saying earlier. I think it's important to lay the seed that, hey, mm-hmm. Pat, as you come in and we start getting more invested in this whole thing, we will be talking about nutrition at some point, and we will try to guide you in some good directions there, but maybe not yet. So just kind of plant that seed and let it know, let the athletes know that it's coming. That's my preferred method. But then it's highly individualistic from there. I think that some people are going to be really ready because they have a decent fitness base that they come into. Maybe they have some more familiarity with CrossFit more broadly. Hey, in that case, they might be ready for that conversation pretty early on. Whereas somebody else who is, let's say they're an older athlete, they don't have a lot of physical experience with you know, any exercise. Maybe they're dealing with overweight or they're obese. They have some other health complications coming in. You know, we're just establishing these baseline habits. At that stage, it may be too much to layer all of this all on top at once. And that might be a little bit longer trajectory before mm-hmm. we really start dialing some things in. So I think it depends on the athlete a lot.
So let's say whichever route you choose, it is the right time to chat mm-hmm. with that athlete. They appear to be at least quasi interested and open-minded yep. to hearing, you know, what you're saying. Do you have a recommendation for affiliate owners as to where they should start? Is it a one or two baby steps? Is it a weigh and measure thing? Is it a give me a food log thing? Is it a, like, you know, where does your mind go on that?
It's a fully customized, personalized plan right down to individual micronutrient profile. And no. It's funny. I have some points written down on the big whiteboard here beside me. So if you guys see me glancing over there, that's what I'm trying to reference here. But the first point that I wrote down, and I truly believe this, is that some basic general information is so powerful. And I've mentioned this many times on the show in the past, but I believe that you really don't need a lot more than basic nutritional literacy to stave off most of the calamities that can happen if you're not eating well. Mm-hmm. And so to me, I think you would be wise to sidestep the entire conversation around what diet is best. How do I, you know, make this perfect? How do I individualize it so that's hyper-specific to me? And that's all I worry about is when my one meal happens to be off. You know, I think there's a lot of weirdness that can develop from that.
Oh, yeah.
So in my opinion, I think it has to start with some big, basic, general information. And I'll give you a great example that happened in my personal life recently. You know, I do a lot of jiu-jitsu these days. And there's a lot of guys there that's their only outlet for physical activity and exercise. And that's great. It's a great outlet for that. But as such, there's almost no nutritional coaching or anything going on inside the walls of the jiu-jitsu gym. Maybe among some of the more higher level competitors, but that's not coming from the instructors. That's coming from, you know, these athletes that have kind of taken it upon themselves. So anyway, I have a younger guy who's, you know, competing. And, you know, he wanted to drop a little bit of weight and he's got a little bit to lose in fairness. And so, you know, some of these guys were talking about it and they're talking about best diets and this and that. And I said to this young man, I said, well, what are you eating now? And he started describing it to me. And I was like, okay, you need to stop right now. And I'll tell you the two things that you need to focus on for the next month is number one, no liquid calories. Just cut those out and then try to get a good quality protein source at every meal. Do those two things and nail that and come back to me in a month. And then let's talk about the next step. And, you know, that on its face is something that almost anybody could apply. And if you're struggling with first steps, I mean, it's not, it might be hard to do in practice, but it's not difficult to understand. And it doesn't have to get mired down in this conversation around like, well, is it the carnivore diet or the paleo diet? Is it a macronutrient-based system? It doesn't matter. Let's just start with the big basics here first. Cut out the unnecessary filler, and let's try to start to replace that with a high-quality protein source. Boom. Get there first, and then move on. And, you know, again, that doesn't have to be the approach, but I think it identifies nicely that you don't have to get hyper-specific to really get somebody started with something very powerful that can then be refined as they adopt those basic habits.
100%. You know, I always, if the person's open to it, and again, you did it verbally, but another great thing would, if somebody is willing and will actually, like, you know, give you a food log, which is just a written version of what you got verbally,
yep,
you know, for a week or whatever, and please, please, please let the person know, like, if you know now that you're going to submit this to me, and so you eat a lot different this week than you normally do, we're not helping anybody. If you normally have 7 pints of Ben and Jerry's a night, please continue to do that. Like, whatever it is you do,
don't pretty it up.
No, like, we want the raw, real. I'm not judging you,
absolutely,
but we need the truth. And if you don't give me the truth, we're screwed. Mm-hmm. And so, like, let them know that. And if they actually give that to you, verbally or written or whatever, then I agree with what you said. Let's say that you see the list, and internally you're like, good God, you know, you see the list, but, you know, you don't let that show in your face. It would probably be like, that's the same reaction that Chad Vaughn would see if he saw me do a squat snatch. Good God, what is that? You know, like, and he would probably be like, okay, there's 75 things that Pat needs to improve in this squat snatch. But if he tells me 75, my little brain's overwhelmed. Nothing's going to get done. I'm going to feel like a failure. And so since he's a great coach, he'd probably give me like the one or two critical things we're going to focus on. He's not even going to mention the 70. It's kind of like it's exactly what you just said in the coaching realm applied to nutrition. So same deal, verbally or written. You see just a litany of things. What are the top one or two killers? And let's just, exactly what you said, let's just focus on those. And when those are kind of like the driving example, when they're so automatic that you don't need to worry about them, and you thought that the world's going to end because you couldn't have your sugary drink from Starbucks, and a month later, you learned that you replaced it with something which had 1/10 of the calories and sugar, but you still really enjoy it. And you get like, and now you're like, oh, you know what? Things are kind of cool. And I like this little word. Okay, great. Those are great. Now going down the list of priorities, let's take a look at this, and we'll look at this for the next month. And if you just keep playing that game in a, you know, triage, prioritized fashion, man, you'll be a different human being in 6 weeks, you know, without overwhelming the athlete. And in that loose conversation you're having with the people, you're addressing both quantity and quality without making it so dogmatic or suffocating to the athlete that they are thinking that they're going to weigh and measure for the rest of their life, either though that might have value every now and then. So I like, and I'm a fan of exactly that sort of approach. I love the written food journal for a week, if they can actually give it, because you can lay it out and really see what's going on. And I'll give a quick, just funny story, and then throw it back to you, which is for weighing and measuring. I had a conversation a while ago with our mutual friend, Mr. Dan Bailey. Mm. And he's, you know, he's like the head coach at Rogue Fitness. And, you know, he'd get involved in people's...
Decent athlete on his own.
Athlete. He'd get involved with people's nutrition because they would say, Dan, I want your pectorals and biceps. What do I need to do to get that to happen? And he would say, be a different human. But he said it was so funny. He goes, if I had $5 every time this happened, I'd tell somebody, we'd start to talk about nutrition. I'd give them ideas about like what's an appropriate amount to eat. And everyone would be like, oh, that I'm not overeating at all. Like that's, I'm nowhere near that amount of, you know, carbs or fat or like, I'm not even near, don't even worry. I don't need to do this weighing and measuring crap. Don't even worry about it. Things don't change. And he finally be like, would you just, as a personal favor to me, would you weigh out what you think your normal breakfast is? What are? He goes, and without question, everyone came back and was like, dude, I was way off the top of what I thought I would be. This is crazy. So there's some, you know, once the people are ready for it, you can go as far down as many rabbit holes as you want, but you can get really far without them breaking out the scale as well. But most people probably don't realize, since it's like a nutrition creep that happens.
Yeah.
Get a little bit more. You go
for
from
sure.
the grande to the venti to the whatever. Yeah. Like, there's a creep that happens. And so it's nice to kind of have somebody step in.
Yeah, I agree. And it's interesting you say that because, you know, you can... I hesitate to even go down this road, but, you know, there's studies that come out all the time. And I think most of them are so dubious because they're hyper-specific and people draw their own conclusions from them. And or they're just so obvious to the person that's actually working with human beings that you're like, yeah, great. This is something that 10 years ago might have been interesting, but I'm glad that you finally confirmed it. All that said, I did hear it. I think actually at the CrossFit Health Summit, somebody brought it up, that, you know, there are studies of people that do exactly that, where they take a group of people and they have them estimate, okay, how much caloric density is in this particular meal. And people are just notoriously bad at doing this. It's no shock to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But what's interesting, and again, no shock to anybody, but it's worth pointing out, is that the higher the percentage of processed food that is within the diet, the worse the estimation becomes.
Mm-hmm.
And so, for example, if you have somebody that has 3 scrambled eggs and an orange and, you know, whatever cream in their coffee for breakfast, they're still wrong with how much they think that caloric density of the meal is. But compared to somebody who's off having, you know, donuts and Starbucks,
yep.
they are less wrong. And so that's significant. But anyway, you jogged my thinking there on a couple of things. You know, you mentioned Chad Vaughn and his coaching, and any good coach for that matter, is going to kind of titer out information at appropriate times. And, you know, you talked about your initial response to him seeing, or his initial response to seeing you're clean might be like, oh man, we got a lot to do here. And maybe it's just because it's a nice spring day and I'm feeling kind of glass half full. I think the good coach, the person who's truly invested in what they're doing and is excited to do it, they might have that initial like, oh man, we got a lot to do here. But on the other side of that really quickly is, hey, this is an awesome opportunity because it is low hanging fruit that is going to have a profound impact on what happens next. And that's pretty cool. You don't get a lot of those
Absolutely.
Opportunities. And, you know, they become more and more fleeting the deeper you get into this stuff. So in the beginning, when you're like, oh man, all we have to do is stop the 2 donut a day habit and you're going to be killing it.
Get you those know, beginner it's, gains.
Exactly. That's pretty exciting. And if you can share that enthusiasm with people, I think it goes a long way because, you know, people are going to respond to your cues. If you approach it like the drudgery of like, oh, Pat, you're going to hate this so much. It's going to suck. No more donuts for you. I don't know how you're going to make it through, but we're going to get there together. I mean, you're just setting somebody up mentally for a terrible ride. But if you frame it the other way and it's like, hey, dude, Pat, this is not going to be that hard. Look, man, it's just one step and you are going to be seeing all sorts of progress. I promise you, it's going to be really cool and it's going to be totally worth it. You know, that's a very different response that you can get from the athlete. So it's just kind of interesting, the psychology there.
And I'll pull out a very small soapbox for a very short period of time and I'll tuck it away. You know, if we're largely talking about, you know, beach body aesthetics, you know, you want to look good. I'd love to see my better performance in the gym and all that. Like, you know, we get that. And I think people generally also understand that your nutrition choices are going to lead to your health outcomes as well when you go to the physician. I think what, and again, I can only speak and trash my own country here, you know, in the US, but I'm always, again, I don't have a medical degree. Lord knows that. Barely graduated college with sociology. But from just being around strength and conditioning for so long, it's maddening to me to see so many people that I know in my family, extended family, friends that are dealing with all the normal ailments that a lot of human beings and Americans sadly deal with, whether it's low energy, my joints hurt, I've got skin problems, like, you know, inflammation, fill in the blank. Yeah. And they're at the pharmacy getting a prescription for whatever it happens to be. And that's not to say that that may not be exactly what's needed and it has value. But what bothers me is before that route is gone, and this is not for like a life-threatening addition, since I'm around these people regularly, I see just a sedentary lifestyle full of nothing but processed garbage constantly. And I'm like, I'm not shocked that your joints hurt like that. I would be shocked if they didn't hurt, you know, and maybe before you go down and you pump something into your body every day for, I don't even know how long, or if you ever will quote unquote be off it. Maybe we try just some basic movement and you get in bed 30 minutes earlier and maybe there's a bit more water and a little bit less soda. And, you know, maybe we tighten up just a couple key areas of the diet. Let's just see if that does it. Maybe you can get, I bet a lot of people could get further than they think with a lot of the just low-hanging ailments that seem to be plaguing the country that I don't think would require pharmaceutical intervention. That's my soapbox.
No, I think of course we see pretty eye to eye on that. It is interesting that people are willing to. Yeah, exactly. They're so willing to just you know, go down this route of, well, I guess I'm on medication forever, without you know, any other step between that. It's really too bad.
It's heartbreaking, you know. Yeah. In all honesty, and as somebody who loves food, like, I get it. Like, you know, fruits and vegetables, sweet as they are not as sweet as a package of Chips Ahoy cookies and a glass of milk. I get it. I ain't saying it's going to be easy, but I'm saying it's possible and it's worth a try. And you're really going to the grocery store anyway. You know what I mean? And so that would be my other non, you know, deadlift performance related thing that I think the more intervention that caring people do with their clients with regards to nutrition, it's really cool if the deadlift goes up, but you might have just a profound impact in a lot of other areas as well.
Yeah, for sure. Well, one of the things I started thinking about when we decided that this was going to be our topic, I started to think like, okay, well, why wouldn't a trainer or an affiliate manager bring up nutrition as part of their regular routine within the walls of the affiliate? And I think there are some legitimately good reasons. I mean, it can be difficult. I think that's, you know, that's stating the obvious maybe. But I also think that nutrition, much like exercise, I'll stand on my soapbox for a few minutes here. Move over, Pat. Let me jump on there. I think it's been so co-opted by this pervasive belief that it's only able to be put out there by the experts. Only somebody with this secret knowledge can ever teach you to do something as hugely dangerous as the clean. I mean, you shouldn't even think about learning that on your own. Could you imagine what might happen, Pat, if you decided on your own, with your own free will, to pick up that bar and teach yourself the snatch? I mean, think of the horror. This is crazy. Great. You know? And by the same extension, there's so much of that thinking that goes on in nutrition, and it, particularly in certain parts of the world where it's seen as only the domain of somebody who's a studied expert, quote unquote, that can ever give any sort of advice on this. And I think it's, in my opinion, I think it's criminal, because it's ridiculous that something that you have to engage in, literally have to engage in to continue to survive on planet Earth, becomes relegated to the domain of somebody who, you know, has the secret knowledge. That's insane to me, especially considering when the alternative is to just leave people to their own devices that are clearly not serving them. That's madness. And so anyway, standing off the soapbox a little bit, I understand that that can put people in a tricky situation, because depending on where they are, depending on the laws that surround them,
right, of course,
there may be a situation where it is perceived that they are prescribing a particular diet. And that is not allowed, you know, depending on where you happen to be. So all that to say is like, okay, well, how do you sidestep that? And that's where I come back to this. Well, we are not prescribing anything. We're making recommendations broadly that don't have to be categorized as a specific nutritional approach. Mm-hmm. Okay, so how do you do that? Well, one of the things that I've always felt when it comes to nutrition is that there is more to be gained looking at what all of these disparate little nutritional camps agree on. So you might have, you know, the zone people, to date myself, I know it's kind of not vogue anymore, and the paleo people, and yeah, exactly. And, you know, the diet X and the diet Y people. they're all going to have their little, you know, corner of it. And they're all going to tell you that this is the way. You shouldn't listen to the other guys. You know, what's the old joke? It's like, I think that applies across the board, but what's the only thing two nutritionists can agree on? Is that the third guy is wrong, you know?
Exactly. There you go.
So anyway, point being is that if you can figure out where these disparate dietary camps all tend to agree and focus on that, you're in pretty good shape. And so it's hard to find a diet protocol on planet Earth that's going to say, you know what, Pat, just unlimited sugar all day long, you'll be good to go.
Right.
Okay, well, that's pretty obvious. If every single protocol on Earth is in pretty close agreement that, like, yeah, that's, you got to limit that. Okay, that's probably a good place to start. Same thing, you go down the list and you ask people, like, all right, can I base most of my diet around processed foods, even if they're not sugary, but just like out of the box, made in a laboratory, you know, they used to resemble, they used to resemble food, but now they're kind of assembled and put back together. Well, probably a good thing to avoid that, you know. You can go down the list and there are four or five or six things that most protocols are going to, whether explicitly or not, they're going to agree on these little principles. And you can base a really nice kind of general approach on these things that has nothing to do with the diet du jour. And I think that's really powerful and a great first step, particularly for people that find themselves in areas that are a little bit more restrictive, because it's not prescriptive. It's just like, hey, man, there's a couple of tenets here. I'm not telling you what to do, but, you know, it's a good idea to get some protein in regularly. I'm not telling you what to do. It's a good idea to not drink yourself silly on sugary drinks daily, you know, and you can get a whole lot done by looking for those intersections. So that's one strategy that I would really encourage people in the affiliate setting or on their own personal kind of nutrition journey.
I think you nailed it, quite frankly. As a matter of fact, I think that's the way to go the overwhelming majority of the time versus I demand you follow diet A. I think that's flawed for a number of particular reasons. I think you make the general recommendations and then just be ready for a whole lot of small rudder adjustments and course corrections along the way as you have, you know, continual check-ins and interactions with this athlete as to what are the areas that are easier to be compliant in than you originally thought, and what are the areas that we didn't see coming that are now obstacles that we can find, you know, ways around. And you just keep having, you know, touch point until you find for what each athlete where they just hum and what actually fits with their life and their schedule and their workload and their kids and their dietary restrictions. Then, like, it ain't going to be a one size fits all. There'll be the general principles. I'd like you to eat more real food than processed food. I'd like you to eat more real food in an appropriate quantity than an inappropriate quantity. Like I said, those are going to be universal, but there's huge strike zones person per person in there as well. And so, no, I think you're right on it.
Yeah. Well, and just to dovetail on that, the last point that I've got on my whiteboard here, and again, it's another one of these kind of universal principles, in my opinion, consistent and sustainable is going to beat quote unquote perfect every single time.
Yes, sir.
So if you have this amazingly well thought out and thorough dietary approach, but God, I just can't stand to be on it for more than a week or two at a time before I fall off and have to go visit the Waffle House. Well, it's probably not going to be a great outcome 5 years from now. But if I can get that 75, 80% solution and I'm like, yeah, I know it's not perfect. I know that on Friday nights, I like to go, you know, meet my friends out and I have a drink and we end up getting a burger or whatever. And that ends up in a Sunday. Okay, cool. But that's just once a week and the rest of it's pretty dialed in. And I can sustain that because it keeps me, you know, healthy and sane generally. Man, that's a pretty good recipe for success a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. And so, yeah, consistent and sustainable is so important when you're thinking about the long term.
You told me that I had to never have a burger and fries again in my life to follow your diet. I wouldn't follow your diet.
There you go.
Just, you know, like it's, you know, there's some niceties in life. You know, I'd like to find that
absolutely
there. Good body composition, good health markers when I go to the doctor, good performance in the gym, and also hey, it's so-and-so's birthday. Cut me a slab of cake. You know,
yeah, let's go.
That, you know, kind of a deal. So anyway, that's a...
Well, and I'll say on that too, again, kind of getting into a little armchair psychologist on it. But, you know, I find that it's periods of my life that I have been less disciplined when it comes to diet. And there's been periods of my life where I've been hyper-disciplined mm-hmm. with my diet. And I feel like now I'm in a pretty good balance between the two. I'm not too freaky about it, but my baseline yep. habits are pretty good. And I will say that what's nice about that is when I do end up in those situations where it's like, yeah, we are going to go out and get a burger and a beer, I don't have to freak out about like, oh, this doesn't fit my diet because
Amen.
I'm not that hyper-disciplined. And on the other side, I'm not eating a burger and a beer every single day. And so when I do it, I genuinely enjoy it. And I feel like yes. I enjoy it that much more because I'm like, oh, this is a treat and it's a great treat. And then I get back on track and it's yep. no big deal. So it's a nice balance if you can get there. So,
well, hopefully on the prickly subject of nutrition, this serves gym owners in one way, shape, or form. Hopefully so. As I always forget to do at the beginning of the show, if you want to help support the program, go to verynotrandom.com, check out all the cycles that we offer because they're awesome. And then also, if you own a gym, any style gym, BTWB's got you hooked up for their all-in-one gym management and billing and the best workout tracking on the planet. Go to btwb.com/all-in-one and get on the wait list and they'll hook you up. So, and nutrition. I'm going to go have lunch after this. As we always say, find the show on the BTWB YouTube channel. Post your thoughts on nutrition. How do you tackle it with your clients? Do you go in right away? Do you wait for them to bring it up? Is it, you know, one rigid thing? Let me know. Curious to hear about that. Or if you have a future nutrition topic, I bet there's some out there, post that as well. Thanks to everybody. It's your show and your ideas that keep this coming. For Adrian Bosman, I'm Pat Sherwood, and we'll see you next time.